Following interviews and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
It's time again for Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio with the latest news and conversation related to firearms and your Second Amendment rights. Sponsored by Rogers Auto Repair, Arctic RV, Auto Trim Design, and Frontier Outfitters. And now, Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
Welcome, listeners. This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio, and Melissa Burnett on the controls. Please call in throughout the hour to join us. 458-8255, 458-TALK. What is on your mind about firearms today? Lovely day in Fairbanks. Snow is forecast. I saw some light flakes on my way driving here. Temperature is 18 degrees here. And as usual, here at the KFAR Broadcasting Station, Melissa is expertly running the board. Thank you, and keeping the archives up to date for us. Remember, if you miss a program, it'll be accessible in the archives within a day. So what is on our agenda today? We will continue our book review and stories about W.D.M. Bell, known as Karamojo Bell, who wrote Wanderings of an Elephant Hunter in 1923. And we are in Section 3, titled The Coming of Pieli, which is the last section in Chapter 5, when Chapter 5 is titled Karamoja. And when we are done with that, we will understand how Bell set himself up for many successful years of elephant ivory hunting. And then I will skip the rest of the stories in the book and land towards the end of chapter 15, which is titled Rifles, because that has good advice. We're not going to get that far today, and I expect that we'll probably finish up the book next week. I want to talk about lead poisoning. Every so often, we firearms and ammunition users should revisit our relationship with lead and other harmful chemicals in our sport. And I also want to talk about the .22 caliber double action revolvers. And I have some thoughts in addition to what I mentioned last week when a gentleman listener called in about them. So let's go to announcements. Chuck Indereden's next Alaska Concealed Handgun Permit class is December 9th and 10th. This weekend's class is full, and I am so proud of our community for signing up for the Alaska Concealed Handgun Permit classes from Chuck. That's being responsible. Class times are noon to 4 on Saturday and 9 to 5 on Sunday for all of Chuck's ACHP classes. You can sign up on his website or go to Alaska Ammo. They have flyers there. And I will have a list of dates for next year for you next week, but the upcoming class will be December 9th and 10th. And not to sound like a broken record, but if you're going to take the Alaska Concealed Handgun Permit class, take it from an instructor who has deep experience in both handguns and law enforcement, as well as numerous high-level certifications. Chuck has all those criteria, plus he has a master's degree in education. Now, Chuck is offering his next Defensive Handgun for the Armed Citizen class on December 16 and 17. Chuck posted the happy faces of this past weekend's graduates of that class, and I congratulate all of them on their accomplishment. You can find my review of that class in two parts. Part one was on April 20th, 2023, and part two on May 4th, 2023. All of that in the archives, thanks to Melissa. Sign up for Chuck's Alaska Concealed Handgun Permit class or the upcoming Defensive Handgun for the Armed Citizen classes on his website. Like I said, Alaska Ammo also has information and flyers about Chuck's classes. Now, if you want to be on Chuck's mailing list or have any questions at all about Chuck's classes, call him at 844-966-4079 or go to his website, c4traininggroup.com. And there's more to the story. Chuck is generously providing a free, no cost, free Stop the Bleed class at Alaska Ammo. That's on November 16. You can find information about how to sign up. See the Alaska Ammo or Chuck's c4traininggroup.com's Facebook pages or go to Chuck's website. You can also sign up at Alaska Ammo. Now, I took this class a few years ago from Chuck. It is our responsibility as firearms users to be able to provide for ourselves and others first aid should there be an emergency. Now, that Chuck is offering this class, the Stop the Bleed class, free, to me shows his dedication to firearm safety in our community. As I said, you can just walk into Alaska Ammo and sign up, or go to their Facebook page or Chuck's Facebook page, or sign up at Chuck's website. I really like the Stop the Bleed class. And by the way, adults, you can take it with your kids. I'm not sure if there's an age limit on it, but when I took it from Chuck, Chuck gave the class to our youth rifle students. So those are young people, and I took it along with them. The presentation goes into if this, then this, if this, then this. So check for this, and this is how you proceed. If this is happening, then this is how you proceed. And it's very, very easy, not only for adults, but for young people who might be using firearms to understand what they need to do. And Chuck, you go through all the demonstrations. You do a tourniquet on each other. He has some plastic models where you're actually stopping the pretend bleed for a knife wound or a gunshot wound. This is a very valuable class, folks, and he's not charging for it. So go to Alaska Ammo, go to Chuck's website, sign up for this class, free November 16. Okay, moving on. Glenn Miller's upcoming NRA metallic cartridge reloading classes for registrants on the AIMCOM website are January 6th and April 27 of 2024. Glenn is also an excellent instructor, deep knowledge and life experience in what he teaches. And I took Glenn's NRA metallic cartridge reloading class last fall. So look in the Shooter's Corner archives on December 8th. I talked about my experience in Glenn's class. You can sign up at the AIMCOM website or call Glenn 907-347-1396 if you want to be in a future reloading class and it isn't listed on the AIMCOM website. Just call Glenn. And one more from Glenn. Actually, two more from Glenn. Glenn's busy, too. MASS, M-A-S-S, Miller's Action Speed Shooting. So the first MASS of the season, which is Action Speed Shooting at Steel Plates, is this weekend, Saturday, November 4, 9 to noon at the Fish and Game Range. You can shoot rimfire or centerfire, both at professional-level steel target system. And beginners as well as experienced shooters are welcome. New shooters and juniors under 18 shoot free, so bring your family. Sign up at PracticeScore, P-R-A-C-T-I-S-C-O-R-E, PracticeScore.com. Now, if all entries are full, because I think there was just one entry left, if they're all full, sign up. There's a wait list. Sign up on the wait list. So for more information, call Glenn Miller at 907-347-1396. And folks, if you go with your family, you don't need all those multiple guns. You can take one set of guns or one gun with you, 22 or centerfire, and your whole family isn't shooting at the same time, so you can trade back and forth. And yet another class from Glenn Miller. Now, this class is an NRA First Steps pistol class. And I have not talked about these yet because Glenn usually fills them pretty quickly. He just posts them and they automatically fill. But the upcoming class, Monday, November 6th at 6 p.m., has one opening due to a cancellation. And I'll talk in depth next week more about these classes of Glenn's and position them for you so you know when to take Chuck's Alaska Concealed Handgun Permit class or Glenn's NRA First Steps pistol class. Two different kinds of classes with two different levels of instruction, and the students have different goals in those classes. So for right now, if you or any adult or youth 16 or 17 years old with permission of an adult are new to handguns, this is for new people. Maybe you want to get a gun and you've never touched a gun. This is your place to learn, or you just got a gun and you're not confident that you know how to use it, and you want to use it for sport, new to guns, and would like to learn the basics of pistol from NRA instructors, this is the class for you. And I'll explain next week that students age 10 years old up to 16 can also attend, but that age group has to attend with an adult. So for now, there's just one opening, so it will have to be that person in that 16 to 17 age group, or as I mentioned, an adult. It's only $65, and all materials, including handbook, firearms, ammunition, are supplied. Glenn Miller is the chief instructor, so you know the class is going to be a good one. You can register at the AIMCOM website, but I'm not sure if the registration page is showing that it's full, because it was full, or that a new opening has occurred. So if you go to the website and it looks like it's filled with 10 people already, just call Glenn at 90 407-347-1396 and tell them you want that spot. And again, next week I'll explain more about this class and how to position it in the choices of classes we have in this community. It's a wonderful opportunity at just $65 a person to take as a family, grandparents with grandkids, even adults who know already how to use firearms. You will be supporting your youth in learning to use them correctly. So again, check the AMCOM website under registration or call Glenn Miller at 907-347-1396. And don't forget to stop in at Alaska Ammo or go to Chuck's C4TrainingGroup.com website and look for that Stop the Bleed class November 16. That is free. And we're going to go to our first break.
You can plan on it every day. You're either building something or you're repairing and adjusting stuff around the house. The list is long, from squeaking hinges to the annoying kitchen cabinet that refuses to stay shut. Well, there's always something, right? Sticky doors to the occasional wiring job and everything in between. You need tools, and Century Hardware has your back with the hand tools, power tools, and the largest selection of fasteners in the interior. Open every day. Century Hardware. What you need right now.
Hello, winter. Brian here at Auto Trim Design. Do you have a vehicle that doesn't have heated seats or a remote start, and your significant other freezes every time they get in? Or do you need moose lights installed so you can see down those dark roads? We at Auto Trim Design have your back, literally. With Auto Trim Design behind you, you'll never have to worry. Stop by and let us professionally install your heated seats, remote start, moose lights. Trust me, you won't regret going with Auto Trim Design.
Customized by Auto Trim Design.
Weather brought to you by the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks. Your eyes connect you to your world. Care for them with the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks, your eye health professionals on Mini Street.
KFAR weather.
Cloudy skies today with a chance of snow. Daytime highs approaching 27. Winds out of the east, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Mainly cloudy skies expected tonight. Chance of snow, lows dip down to about 12. Chance of snow again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 24. Cloudy skies expected. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back. This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz and Melissa Burnett on the controls, KFAR Radio. Please call in at 458-8255-458-TALK and let us know what's on your mind about firearms today. Now, one of our gentleman listeners called in last week saying he was thinking about purchasing a .22 caliber double action revolver, and did I have anything to say about those guns? And I mentioned I had several, and I talked about a few features, and I said I'd talk more about the .22 caliber double action revolvers this week, and I will. And it's funny how guns multiply in gun safes. I don't know what goes on in gun safes, but I thought I had three of these I talked about last week, but when I brought them out to examine them this week, I have four in my gun safe.
Guns are like rabbits.
Yeah, they're like rabbits.
they're just all of a sudden, there's more of them.
Yeah. I wonder if that's where my money goes.
I think it is.
Rabbits eat money. Okay.
What happened to my money? Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's four guns in there.
Yeah. So the first one is a beautiful vintage Smith & Wesson Model 43. It's blued. It's a 3-inch barrel, a 6-chamber cylinder. And I received this secondhand from a friend who back in his day shot a lot of small game for dinner with it while on camping trips. It's a beautiful firearm, well balanced, with a delightful trigger pull, as guns that were made back in those days have. It has a smallish, beautiful wooden grip. And, of course, I set my standards with that one, and that's hard to beat. The next three 22 double action revolvers I have are modern ones. So the second gun is a Smith & Wesson Airlight Model 317, and it's on a J-frame. That's the small Smith & Wesson frame. And today's price on the Smith & Wesson website for that gun is $839. And this gun has an aluminum alloy frame and cylinder. It's lightweight, 11.8 ounces, and that lightweight does not matter with the 22, you're not going to have that recoil. It has a 3-inch barrel, an 8-chamber cylinder, and a trigger that's nice enough to be almost comparable to my vintage Model 43. And this has a fiber optic front sight and a very comfortable curved ergonomic rubber grip. Now, both of these two guns do not need the springs changed out, and I'll talk about that in a minute for these 22s. Now, I can take either a double action or cock the hammer and take a single action shot with either of these without moving that front sight off target and shooting one-handed. And these are that nice of guns. So that modern one is the Smith & Wesson Airlight Model 317. The third one I have is a Ruger LCR. It's got a ramp front sight with factory white sight paint. It's got a 3-inch barrel, 8-chamber cylinder, and what I consider a non-ergonomic rubber grip. The grip is just straight and does not have that swell area to fill the palm of your hand. However, Ruger's website says it is a Hogue Tamer mono grip to reduce perceived recoil, though you're not going to feel much recoil on a 22 revolver. Ruger says this gun is made from aerospace grade 7000 series aluminum. Mine is a Model 5435, which is the 22 long rifle. The weight is 17.3 ounces, and the MSRP today on that is $739. It's a nice gun, but that gun could use a spring change. It has a difficult trigger and impossible hammer spur shape. The spur is short and the spring is heavy, and I cannot cock it efficiently trying to shoot one-handed. And last is my 4-inch barrel Ruger SP-101 22 long rifle. And this is a bit large and heavy to be considered a kit gun, which I'll talk about in a moment. The cylinder has 8 chambers. Total weight is 30 ounces. It has a fiber optic front sight and comes with the older type of rubber grip with the wooden inserts. And this happens to be a perfect grip for me. And I have the same one on my GP100, my 357 caliber. So if you have larger hands, you're probably going to want to change that out for a beefier.
Yeah, we have
grip.
A call.
We have a caller. Okay, caller, you are on the line.
Hello, this is Randy.
Hi, Randy.
You mentioned just a moment ago that one of your 22 revolvers is blued, and which, of course, just means it's a black gun.
Yeah.
And I have a revolver that's also, quote-unquote, blued. But it just made me start to wonder, what is bluing? I mean, what is the stuff that makes a silver steel into blue or black? And does it obviously, it must have something to do with corrosion resistance, too, because I've never seen a blued gun.
Yeah, and that's a question I can't answer. I know someone who actually does some bluing. Let me talk to him this week.
Okay.
And if he won't call in, he may not want to be on the program. I'll get information from him and write it down and share it and see what I can find out online. I do know that the chemicals that are used in bluing in the old days, there's something about the chemicals that some of them are not allowed to be used these days, so the bluing process is different, and that's why Colt can't get that deep blue that they had many years ago. And I don't know about the rust resistances compared to stainless. That I don't know. I know all of my vintage blue guns show holster wear around the muzzle and the edges of the cylinder. So, I don't know how long it took for that to happen. And I don't know in Kydex holsters if that's going to happen. So there is some wear and tear that shows on those guns that doesn't show on the steel.
And another question just popped in my mind.
Yep.
Before the gun is blued, it's no doubt silver steel, but it's not stainless steel, is it?
Yeah.
Steel?
I don't know, and I don't know how it's prepared, how the surface is prepared. So let me talk to my friend, and if I can't get the information for next week, I'll get it for the week after. Let me see what I can find out. I just really don't know.
Okay.
Okay, and on your question about red men and redneck and all. I did look that up. Let me talk about that next week. I can't find any correlation between calling people red men in Africa to anything that was called here in the United States. Seems like different cultures just kind of came up with that at the same time. But I'll go into a little bit of the history of it. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Oh, that pops in another thing. There was a movie, I think it was called Khartoum, starred Charlton Heston, uh-huh. and it was a historical show, and he was some British guy that went down into wherever it was in Northern uh-huh. or someplace, and fighting Muslims or something like, well, I shouldn't say that, but...
Well, that's, yeah.
There was one of the people living down there in the movie said that it was him, and the guy said, "How do you know it was him?" And I think the guy said, he was pink, or something like that.
Pink. Interesting. Well, it's interesting what other cultures think of us, the white man.
Yeah.
But in us, what, people should have probably been born colorblind. I don't know. I'll talk about it a little next week if I have time, or the week after, and I'll try to get information on the bluing. Or if one of our callers knows about this, they can call in too. I know we have some pretty smart people out there that know a whole lot of information, and I think it would be great if they'd share it with our community of shooters.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Randy.
Bye.
All right, where are we? Oh, we still got 5 minutes before break. Okay, so on this SP-101, the trigger spring is outrageously heavy, and like the Ruger LCR, I cannot cock the hammer using the gun one-handed, and I'm not a weakling. So personally, I see no point, this is personally, I see no point in having a revolver in any caliber that one cannot use correctly one-handed. So you'd want to consider a spring change on this one too. Any revolver you get, you have to figure out how do you want to operate it. My bear gun, my 357, absolutely I need to be able to use that with one hand. What if my other hand is disabled? So think about what you want. To have a heavy spring like that on a 22 makes it just impossible for me. So the first two guns I described were to be my personal kit guns, and the second two I described I purchased to use in my youth firearms classes. Some kids do better starting out with 22 revolvers and then taking their first revolver shots with a 357 and 38 special ammunition. Just start them out with a small 22 revolver. And I normally do not change out springs in guns I teach with for liability reasons. So that's why these last two remain with the original springs that I purchased them with. So let me talk about a few things to think about if you're purchasing a 22 revolver. Last week, I mistakenly told you that the chambers usually hold 10 rounds. Nope, the modern ones usually hold 8. It's my single action 22s that hold the 10 rounds. A 22 caliber revolver is very forgiving with what you feed it. Use up all your old 22 rounds, odds, and ends. Anything that won't feed satisfactorily in your 22 semi-autos will do just fine in a 22 revolver, you know, unless that round is compromised, the primer or powder is damaged, or it's been exposed to moisture or heat. One drawback, and it is evident on the last two models I mentioned, is the modern 22 revolvers come with those heavy spring weights, especially the Rugers. And in my mind, if I'm trying to shoot a grouse on the ground or a hare, I'm aiming at a very small area that head, and it's too difficult to use double action and keep that front sight on target when you have that heavy poundage pull. So for me to get either of those Rugers into single action, I have to use my non-shooting hand, thumb, to cock the gun. And this is why I advise, if it's your personal gun, have a gunsmith change out those springs so that you are happy with them. I keep all my 22 revolver cylinders filled with dummy rounds, even when they're in the gun safe. They're all filled with these dummy rounds. I don't dry fire any of these without dummy rounds since they are rim fire. But as always, read the manufacturer's instructions and decide for yourself. Many of the smaller 22 double action revolvers are known as kit guns, and kit guns were considered multi-purpose utility guns. They were intended to be used for hunting small game, perhaps plinking for fun or pest control, or to some extent self-defense, but I would never recommend using a 22 for self-defense. The name kit gun comes from the fact that these are small guns that are designed to be easily packed in your hunting or camping or fishing kit, or they're easily carried on your belt or in a proper pocket holster. If you think you want a rail or a mount, or to mount a red dot or a small scope on your 22, if you're going to have a longer barrel, take a look at the Taurus Tracker 22. This one has a longer barrel for accuracy, 6.5 inches. It's not really a kit gun, so to speak. It comes with two cylinders, one for 22 long rifle and another one for the 22 WMR, the Winchester Magnum. Rimfire, I have not handled one of these, but it might give the owner a lot of flexibility if that person wants to shoot at slightly longer ranges with accuracy than they would be able to with the smaller 22 kit gun barrels. And so I have put all four of my 22 revolvers back in my gun safe, and I wonder if next time I take them out, they will multiply to five. So, caller that called in last week, please let us know what you ended up purchasing and how you like it. And that is the end of that discussion. How are we doing on time?
Well, we got about 25 seconds.
Oh, okay. Well, let me just start this next section here. I want to talk about lead poisoning, which all of us who use firearms ammunition and those that reload are well aware of. And I have always washed my hands after shooting or handling ammunition. At the fish and game range, I use what they tell us is lead-removing soap in their bathroom dispensers. I just don't know what brand it is. At home, I just use soap and water thinking that was enough. And I washed my shooting and firearms teaching clothes in regular laundry soap. And I will continue this after our half hour break.
From the Satellite West Studio, satellite-based voice communications. You're listening to KFAR Radio 97.5.
Fox News, I'm John Saucier. Donald Trump Jr. resuming his testimony today in New York civil case against his father in the Trump family business.
It's a sad state of affairs. We don't have an equal system of justice in America these days, and I think we're seeing that play out.
The former president himself is set to testify Monday. New York's attorney general accuses the family of lying about the value of their assets. She wants a $250 million fine and restrictions on how they can do business. Chicago's Mayor Brandon Johnson in Washington to meet with White House officials requesting more support to handle migrants and asylum seekers. Here's what he said they told him.
The president certainly understands that this crisis is a moment that we have to be responsive to. I did hear that there is a commitment to help support and operationalize our system here of care.
Leaders of Denver and New York joining him. They want $5 billion. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's news source reports for the second time in a week, Alaska State Troopers were involved in a deadly shooting in interior Alaska. According to a dispatch, troopers shot and killed a man after pursuing him on the Parks Highway on Wednesday afternoon near the small community of Healy. The troopers began pursuing the man who was driving a pickup truck and ignored commands to stop. While headed northbound towards Fairbanks, the man shot at the law enforcement officer following him multiple times, and in turn, the troopers and responding law enforcement officers returned fire. After coming to a stop, officers and the driver continued exchanging gunfire, during which time the driver of the pickup was shot and killed. This is the second deadly shooting involving Alaska State Troopers this week. The first shooting took place at the Three Bears Motel on Monday in Tok when a trooper fired at a Northway resident carrying an AK-style rifle outside one of the motel rooms. The Parks Highway was closed for over 3 hours as troopers began an investigation at the scene and removed the vehicles from the highway. The highway was reopened by 5 p.m. yesterday.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Ride into winter with a friend, your Snowway Snowplow. Snowway plows are stronger, smarter, the most reliable plow in the industry. Their wireless controls eliminate messy dash installations and provide the ultimate in-cab flexibility. Better yet, Snowway's patented down-pressure hydraulics increase your plowing efficiency by 30%. The drive-in mount system hooks up in seconds, and their structural plow warranty is the best in the business. Stop by Rogers Auto Repair, your Snowway dealer on Dale Road near the airport, or call 479-6665.
Hey, Interior Alaska, having trouble hoisting yourself into your truck? Auto Trim Design has a huge selection of running boards, Nerf bars that'll take the acrobatics out of getting into your truck. Having trouble keeping stuff from flying out of your truck bed? Auto Trim Design has a huge selection of tonneaus, soft, hard, folding, roll-up, gear nets, and Lear or ARE toppers. See us today at Auto Trim Design, where we will be here when the other guys are gone.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back. This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio. Please call in at 458-8255, 458-TALK, and let Melissa Burnett and I know what you're thinking about in terms of firearms. Okay, I'm having a little problem. Yeah, with my
technical difficulties.
I'm having a technical difficulty.
Well, we have a caller.
We have a caller. Okay, caller, you are on the line.
Yes. Hi. Good morning.
Yes.
I'm trying to find out what your impressions are on the burner pistol.
The burner system?
The burner pistol.
Oh, the burner pistol. I don't know about the burner pistol. Can you explain something about it for me?
Oh, okay. It's a non-lethal pistol. It looks like a regular automatic weapon. And it holds, I think, 5 or 6 cartridges that you would shoot at someone without a bullet, and the cartridge explodes on them and puts out a gas around them to basically not, they're not able to see very well.
Oh, okay. Well. Okay. How do you spell that? B-E-R?
No,
B-Y-R-N-A,
Burna.
Say that again?
B-Y-R-N-A.
Okay, Burna. Okay, I don't know about this particular one. I have on my list of things to talk about some of these other methods. You know, we did the alarms, the little handheld alarms some weeks ago or a few months ago, and I was going to get back to this, so it's on my list. I haven't forgotten about some of these other types of objects that you can use that that shoot projectiles of different types. So let me look this one up and do a little research. It's the reason I haven't gotten back to it yet is there's some legal issues with some of these. And so I need to research that. Some of them are good ideas. Some of them might have some legal issues. So I don't know until I look at this. And I have it written down here, and I will get back to it. But it may be a while before I get finished.
Okay.
But thank you for telling me about it. I hadn't heard.
I mean, I like the idea of them because you don't have to be up close with a taser or with they're accurate to like 60 feet away. So
right, and your objective is to stop the threat.
Yeah. You know, obviously, if somebody has a gun, you know, you're not going to have any kind of chance. But if they don't, and they just want to harm you, you know, like rush you and beat you up or something, that might be a good alternative. But I'll check back in the coming weeks. And
Okay. And, you know, do you listen regularly?
Pretty much, yes.
Okay. Well, it might even be early next year. The legal issues have to do with the substance. And in most of these cases, the gun is shooting some type of irritant spray. And there are some irritant sprays that are legally not supposed to be used on people. They're supposed to be used on animals only.
I think they have limitations for New York and
California.
Okay. So as long as we know that something is legal to use, some of these are good ideas. But let me do my research so I know what I'm talking about, because I don't feel competent right now to talk about them. Okay, but thank you for telling me about this. It'll be on my list of things to look at. And actually, if any of our other callers have ideas like this or a specific product, let me get it down on paper so I can take a look at them, and then we can talk about them.
And we actually have another caller.
Oh, okay. Thank you. All right. Caller, you are on the line.
Hi. I just wanted to mention I have a Ruger SP-101 in .22 caliber.
That's what I've... Okay. What barrel length?
The 4.5.
Okay, that's what I've got.
Or 4.2.
Yeah, okay. 4.25, yeah.
Anyway, yeah, the trigger is kind of stiff.
Yep.
Or the hammer, I should say. The hammer is very stiff.
Yep.
However, I was getting light primer strikes way too often.
Huh.
Sent it in Ruger. So they sent it with an even stiffer hammer spray.
Oh, no.
Way stiffer.
Oh, no. And what did you do? Is it still that way?
Yeah, I'm going to put 1,000 rounds through it, see if it's, and then try it. They sent me the old spring back. I'll try it again.
You know, I would take it to Doug Albright and see if he could. He knows. You know, he changes those springs out on those. Those springs on those guns. That's exactly what I have. They're terrible. I don't mind saying if Ruger's listening. There's no reason for that. And on a lightweight gun, you know, a lighter weight gun, a lighter frame, and a 22, you shouldn't have to put that much pressure on the gun. Take it to Doug, and he'll change that spring out to something that works.
Well, the springs change easy, but with the lighter, with the factory spring, it just wasn't going off consistently.
Right. That's hard to quite understand. Was there, did you try different ammos? Because usually ammo is not a problem.
Yes, I did. Some ammo is better than others, but I don't want to limit that.
No, you shouldn't be limited at all. I mean, it's in a revolver, pretty much anything, like I said, unless it's the ammo's compromised, should go off. I've never had ammo not go off in any kind of stuff. Yeah,
it should loosen up more the more I shoot it.
Okay.
Idea.
Okay. Well, check in with us, you know, after you've worked with it a while, but that's just kind of, I don't know, I should say a warning, but those SP-101s, they're very nice guns, but those springs, for me, it was an impossible situation. That's not a gun I can use.
Yeah.
The way it is.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you for calling in.
And we have another caller.
Okay. Caller, third caller, you are on the line.
Hey, Laura, this is Ron.
And yes.
Just as a general thing, since you're talking about spring weights and trigger pulls,
yes,
and what sort of thing, keep in mind that those major corporations, most of their products have attorney written all over them.
Yes, yes. And that's why they do that.
Yes. There are some manufacturers that obviously are not as controlled as others, but that's just something to keep in mind when you're purchasing a firearm and its initial response.
Yes, yes. No, I realize that. And one of the things that's kicking in here is with the lighter weight revolvers and the 22s, if you have that same trigger weight on a 357, like a GP100 and the Rugers, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But when you have that same on a 22 on a lighter weight gun, it makes it so difficult to operate.
Well, and then, too, we have to keep in mind that there's 22 ammunition and then there's 22 ammunition.
Well, this is true. This is true, too. But I have never, have you ever had problems? I don't know if you have one of these type of guns. Have you ever had deads that was, it wasn't the ammunition, it was the primer strike? The firing pin strike?
I have a 22 conversion kit for a Glock 30S,
mm-hmm.
And it's extremely picky about what it likes to eat.
Okay. Because My revolvers, my 22 revolvers are not picky at all. My bullseye guns are very picky, but those aren't revolvers. Those are, you know, my semi-automatics are extremely picky about what brand they will use. Well, this is all interesting with these 22 revolvers. I think there's a lot for people to think about before they put money down for one.
I would suggest, and I don't know because I've not been to their in their range or tried it out or anything as with Alaska Ammo, but I would suggest that if it's possible for somebody to rent a gun and find out how it works for them before they make a purchase.
Yes, that's a great idea. I'm hoping they'll do more of that. I actually met a lady there several weeks ago, I had a gun that she was looking at buying there, and Roger called and asked if I could help her, and I was glad to do that, and she made her decision, and it did work for her. So there's opportunities there. Just talk to them at the desk, you know, if anyone, our listeners, especially if they have a used gun, maybe they'll let you try it out. I know, I don't know
as
what the rules are.
As a female shooter, yeah. I absolutely wholeheartedly agree with this because our hands are so different and so tiny. Like, we can't just pick up a gun.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. But even asking if they, you know, even try practicing with it there in the store is going to give people a pretty good idea.
All right, I'll cut you loose.
Okay, bye. All right. Thank you for calling in. Okay. Okay, let's see. I've got about a minute here. So I just learned from an article in the December 2023 issue of Gun Magazines. It was titled, the article's titled, Lead Poisoning Danger, Plumism, and the Armed American by Will Dobbs, MD, some new information on how we should keep ourselves lead free. And one thing I learned is that soap and water is not effective. And I will share Dr. Dobbs' information on that and more things that we should know about the lead that we handle and breathe. And we're going to go to our last break, so stick with us.
Out in Arizona where the bad men are, the only thing to guide you is an evening star. The roughest, toughest man by far was Ragtime Cowboy Joe. He got his name from singing to the cows and sheep. Every night they say he sings a herd to sleep.
In a bass voice rich and deep, crooning soft and low.
He always sings raggedy music to the cattle as he swings back and forward in his saddle on a horse that is syncopated, gated. There is such a funny meter to the roar of his repeater, how they run when they hear the fellas come, because the west.
Alaska is new every season. Fall and winter bring new sporting opportunities for grouse, ptarmigan, and other small game hunting. Predator calling and trapping, snowshoeing, and winter camping. Gear up for success at Frontier Outfitters for traps, snares, and calls, guns, and ammunition. You'll stay warm and dry with the right clothing and rest easy with tents, sleeping bags, and camp necessities. Just downstairs, you'll find ATV and snow machine accessories and Sentry Hardware. For every season, there's Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle.
Who turned out the lights? Never get stuck in the dark with Auto Trim Design Moose Lights and backup lights on your vehicle. They're the best in the interior. See Auto Trim Design's wide variety of Vision X, Putco, and VLED lights that fit most vehicles. Stop in or give us a call, 456-8400, and we'll design the right setup that fits your lifestyle. Auto Trim Design's philosophy hasn't changed in over 20 years. We treat every customer the Alaskan way with honesty, integrity, and respect.
Customized by Auto Trim.
KFAR weather.
Cloudy skies expected today with a chance of snow. Daytime highs approaching 27. East winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Chance of snow tonight. Lows dip down to about 12. Chance of snow again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 24. Overcast skies. That's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back. This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz and Melissa Burnett on the controls, KFAR Radio. Please call in at 458-8255-458-TALK. And let us know what's on your mind about firearms today. Melissa was just looking at these Brunas, and I'll do some more research. So thank you, caller, for telling us about those. And she says that their different states have different requirements for which types of cartridges.
So if you go to the Brno website, they have the they actually have the cartridges that are compliant with New York and California. It's quite interesting. So I'll be interested to hear your findings.
Okay. So now, if you've ever read any of Will Dobbs' articles, he does have kind of a fun sense of humor. He tells us he started out as at a young age shooting the 177 caliber lead pellets, the 100 to a box kind, the inexpensive kind. And he said he played with those constantly. And if they were bent or deformed, he chewed on them to get them back into shape. And that was back in the 1970s. I wasn't shooting back then, so I don't know what was being taught about lead, but apparently nobody said anything to young Mr. Dobbs. And Dobbs further tells us that as a young person, he bit his split-shot fishing weights to secure them in place on his line when fishing. And since he was not aware of lead issues, he had no idea he was doing anything harmful. And he says with his humor, quote, "I can only imagine how brilliant I might have been had I not befouled my neurons with such stuff," end quote. So Dobbs tells us about an acquaintance, a retired man who his profession was testing and shooting machine guns for a major defense contractor, and this man shot automatic firearms most every day. Quote, "Much of his shooting was indoors or in confined spaces. He breathed gun smoke in profound quantities for literally decades. This guy eventually suffered from some legit heavy metal poisoning. The symptoms were debilitating and not much treatable," unquote. And Dobbs reminds us that while we fixate on gun safety, we need to equally understand and practice the chemistry of shooting and how to handle lead and other contaminants. Now, I won't go into all Dobbs' details of his experiences, but he does tell us bench shooting is likely the worst for blowback and less so when we are moving and shooting. And it is not just in the act of shooting we're covered with nasty chemicals. It happens when we handle our firearms too. If they've been shot, then they have contaminants on them. Here's a quote. "In addition to noxious gases," and he's talking about the nitrocellulose-based smokeless powders producing ammonia as a byproduct of combustion, "ammunition almost always incorporates elemental lead. It's obviously found in the projectiles itself, but is also an integral component of most primer mixtures. As the nasty stuff aerosolizes and conflagrated," and that means to burn, I had to look that up, "it is impossible not to breathe it in. Handling ammunition components while reloading, particularly with cast lead or unjacketed bullets, offers potential exposure as well," unquote. And Dobb goes on to say, quote, "depending upon the specifics of the gun, the environment, and the ambient conditions, every trigger pull can potentially cause you to ingest as much as 1,000 micrograms of lead. This is about the same amount of lead exposure a lead miner receives in a week. Given some of us run through multiple thousands of rounds per year, this can indeed give one pause," unquote. Now, the Fish and Game Range and Alaska Ammo's Range and TVSA all have air handling systems, but I do not know how removal of particulate matter or removal of the gaseous chemicals are measured. And I'm not sure how shooting at outdoor ranges affects us, but I would think, depending on the wind condition, we're inhaling contaminants. At the Fish and Game Range during COVID, we wore masks week after week when we taught our youth rifle and pistol program. And I was in the range during active shooting 4 hours for each Monday. I was in that range for 4 hours of active shooting. And when I took my mask off when I got out of the range in the evening, there would be small pieces of black stuff, some particulate matter, then that was quite visible in the inside of my mask. And if the large stuff got into my mask, where was the invisible stuff going? So the air handling system is supposed to remove that, but how do we know it's effective? And I'm talking about any air handling system in any range. How do we know that it's effective? So it's best that we're careful and not add to any possible problems, at least by keeping our hands clean and not touching anything we ingest, as well as properly washing clothes that we wear to shoot in. And about lead, it's a soft, malleable metal. It has a relatively low melting point, 621.5 degrees. And according to Dobbs, three of lead's isotopes are the endpoints of major nuclear decay process. Lead is the 38th most common element in the Earth's crust, and man has used it since ancient times. And Dobb writes that, quote, "To the Romans, lead was what plastic is to us today. Roman troops threw lead sling bullets in combat, while their engineers used it for water pipes. The Latin word for lead is plumbum, hence the word plumbing." That's where plumbing comes from. Okay, unquote. Now, I did a bit of Googling on the ancient Roman and lead poisoning issue and found that scientists disagree. Some saying there wasn't enough lead seeping into their food and drink to cause harm, while other scientists say lead was a harmful factor. And in an article in Forbes magazine titled "Archaeological Skeletons from London Prove Some Romans Were Lead Poisoning" by Christina Kilgrove, she's an archaeologist, a writer, and a scientist, dated November 29, 2019, quote, "Whether the ancient Romans' copious use of the metal in their civilization resulted in lead poisoning has been debated by classics scholars for centuries. New archaeological research on skeletons from the Roman era London has proven that many of these people were exposed to toxically high levels of lead," unquote. And I won't read all the research data in the article or from any of the articles that I looked at, but I'll quote one more sentence from the article I just mentioned. "The 70-fold greater lead levels in Roman-era London make it clear that lead pollution was a problem for more than half of the population," unquote. Now, personally, I've been aware of lead's issues. I've been careful with contact. I used to make hand-thrown pottery and mix my own glazes, and with that comes a level of health dangers if one's not careful and aware. And lead fumes are fugitive in the kiln process. The fumes are in the air. The lead melts at such a low heat comparatively, so it's often used in earthenware clays, and earthenware clays mature at very low temperatures. And many of you likely know, especially years ago, imports from Mexican earthenware pottery, they were glazed with lead-based glazes, and those glazes leached out lead if you fill them with, like, orange juice with an acidic food. So it makes sense to me that ancient civilizations such as the Romans did ingest from the leaching process or breathe in quantities of lead and lead fumes. And this apparently does bear out in the studies of the ancient London Roman era bones. So now we're in 2023 and much more aware of lead dangers and able to protect ourselves, especially in the sport that we all love, firearms and ammunition and shooting. So Dobbs tells us that most of the lead currently used to make bullets today is sourced from recycled car batteries, not lead mines. And that was news to me. I did not know that. The article notes that elemental lead is physiologically harmless. However, quote, "it is the spontaneous byproduct lead oxide that causes problems. Lead intoxication can damage the heart, bones, kidneys, and reproductive organs, as well as the central nervous system. Most concerning is the effect of lead on the developing brains of children. Everything lead does to the human body is bad," unquote. And more from Dobbs, quote, "lead demyelinates neuronal sheaths in the central nervous system, stunts neuronal growth, and interferes with neurotransmission. By a convoluted path, it also tends to interfere with the synthesis of red blood cells and precipitate microcytic anemia." I don't have a medical degree. Microcytic anemia. Lead intoxication is called plumbism. Symptoms include belly pain, kidney damage, and weakness in the extremities. And we need those neural sheaths to properly do repetitive shooting motions with our guns. I think we talked about that some time ago, and I'll revisit it in the future, the myelination process to teach ourselves to do repetitive motions. So lead can interfere with that. And Dobbs goes on with more awful things lead can do to us, but I think you get the idea. Now, he writes that in grown-ups, among other things, lead poisoning can present with memory problems, joint and muscle aches, high blood pressure, mood disorder, stomach pain, concentration issues, and more. And him being a physician, he writes, quote, "there are some days at work when half the people who come to see me professionally could meet the criteria for lead poisoning," end quote. And he just has to figure out what the real problem is. Some of those things just sound like me getting old. But just when we think our enjoyment of firearms use is creating terrible health problems, Dobbs says, not so fast. "For all the doom and gloom," this is a quote, "for all the doom and gloom, shooting guns, even shooting guns a lot, need not be particularly dangerous. I live in this space. I used to bite fishing sinkers as a kid, yet my blood levels are still negligible. As with any dangerous pursuit, we should simply use some basic precautions when working around ammunition, firing weapons, and cleaning up afterwards," unquote. And Dobbs says that, yes, we can inhale lead, but the biggest risk is eating it. We have to get that residue off our hands and our face and our lips, because that's where it goes. If we don't clean up properly and eat food and drink beverages after being exposed to lead, well, that's where the problem starts. And all of this is unavoidable. And this is really interesting. The next part of the article is entitled Science, and this was all new to me, so I'll share it. Quote, lead oxide is cationic, and that means it is a natural positive charge. It has a natural positive charge. Human skin is anionic, meaning it is negatively charged. And this makes our skin electrostatically attract lead dust. And unfortunately, soap operates via an unrelated mechanism that does a fairly poor job of removing charged lead particles from exposed skin, unquote. And Dobbs suggests first keep the lead off of us in the first place, wear rubber gloves when cleaning our guns or handling reloading components. And second, once exposed to lead on ourselves, we have to use something effectively that removes it from us. Soap and water just isn't going to do it. And he recommends a company called Hygenal, Hygenall. They make products called Let Off. Oh, we have to go. Let Off. But let me tell you really, really quickly, they make a foaming soap, disposable wipes, all kinds of things. So does Hoppies makes Lead Be Gone. There's another product called D-Lead. Otis brand makes one. So look on Amazon. Find something that takes the lead off of you. And just remember, our enemy is the lead. Okay, folks, we'll get to the book full time next week.
This has been Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Rogers Auto Repair, Arctic RV, Auto Trim Design, and Frontier Outfitters. To listen back to this or past episodes of Shooter's Corner, go to KFARradio.com and click on the archives page. For more Shooter's Corner on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.